You'll hear it from me time after time after time. God's Word, there are thousands, literally thousands of topics that can be preached about from God's Word. And if I just at random picked a topic and did that, you couldn't fault me, but would that be what God wants me to do? And so my struggle is to give you what God specifically wants each week. And so this morning, I've got a subject. You see the title in the hymnal, Loving for God, Loving for God. This is a very loving church. I believe we all love each other. And that's very satisfying, particularly to me as pastor. But I hope it's satisfying to you too, when we have this time where we greet one another and we hug, because we don't always get a chance to talk to everybody. We still don't, even though we have that time. But what does it mean to love, really love? And what does it mean to love for God? I'm going to share with you a true incident that happened many years ago in a church where Connie and I were attending. To give you an example of different ways that people can love for God. Now, if you were to ask yourself this morning, how am I going to love for God? What am I going to do to love for God? We had a pastor. He loved his people. He loved his family. He was really the ideal pastor. You know, when he would pull into the parking lot, he had his pastor's spot. He parked, he and his wife. And he would come around and let her out of the car, and they'd go into church together. And one Sunday morning, he was running late. And he pulled into the parking lot, and it was about 1 minute till Sunday school started, and he had a Sunday school class that he taught. And so he grabbed his Bible and he jumped out of the car and he ran into the church to teach his Sunday school class. And he did. And then it was time for the service, and he came to the service and he got up here like I'm up here, and he looked around and his wife wasn't there. And he thought, where can she be? And it was of concern to him. And he thought, where is she? He asked, has anybody seen her? No, they hadn't. And he went back to the church door. It was time for the service to start. He went back to the church door. She was still sitting in the car waiting for him to open the door for her. The reason I share that with you is not to get you men to open the door for your wives, but yeah, it would work too. Now, the reason I share that with you is that sometimes our love gets distracted by circumstance. And when that happens, we don't love for God. And so this morning, this is going to be a little different thought. I hope that you'll think along with me. We're going to go ahead and let me read Romans 5:5. Romans 5:5. It's part of the Romans 5:3-5. It begins, and we glory in tribulation also. Okay? If you don't love your wife, you'll see some tribulation. Okay. And if you ladies don't love your husbands, you'll see some tribulation. But Romans 5:5 says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. When you were a child, did your parent ever give you a job to do? And while you were doing the job, you were thinking to yourself, "I'm doing this for my father, and I'm going to show him that I know how to do it, and it can be done." Huh? Every one of us did it. And you would tell yourself, sometimes it was hard. Like my brother and I hated to hoe the garden or weed the garden. And we had a big garden, almost an acre. But it would help if I would think, "I'm doing this for my father." Remember how responsible you felt to get the job done in order to please your father? Well, this morning, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your Father is God. You are the child of God. And your Father has given you a job to do. Every one of us. There's no exclusions. Whether we're ambulatory or not. Whether we're, the smartest kid on the block or not. There's no exclusions. Every one of us have a job to do. The opening verse has an implication that I'd like to explore with you. So let's pray and ask God to help us as we look at this subject about loving for God. Father, you want something from us. You have saved us. You sent your Son to die for us, and you sent the Holy Spirit to be our comforter. And Father, we thank you for your gift of salvation. You have given us all we need to do the job for you. We just need the energy and the courage. So, Father, whatever we might be lacking, we ask this morning. James tells us we have not because we ask not. So this morning we ask for courage, we ask for energy, we ask for wisdom, that we might do the job that you would have us to do, and then we will praise you for all that you do, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll begin by looking particularly at the center part of this verse 5. And the portion of the verse that I want us to concentrate on this morning is right, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And the key word that we're going to look at this morning, key words, is shed abroad. And so we want to take that phrase, and I want you to realize some things about it. Number one, love of God is shed abroad. God's love cannot be hoarded. God's love cannot be hoarded. We can't save it up. We can't store it up. Because that's not the way the Holy Spirit works. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. We're talking about God, yes. He is the one who sent the Holy Spirit. And what is the first part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Love. So every one of us who has the Holy Spirit indwelling us, living within us, has a surplus of love. When we get saved, God lets the Holy Spirit work in us, and the Holy Spirit causes us to be born again. He indwells our hearts. He brings the fruit that is part of Him. And that is going to be a part of us for the rest of our life. We're filled with love for everyone as well as God. Love brings a certain zeal that causes us to respond to life with excitement. We've all been in love. Was it boring? Is it ever boring? No. Always start to take each other for granted once in a while, or we begin to, not think about all that God is doing for us and through that person who loves us. But love is exciting. There's just a certain excitement about it. And love does something else to us. It causes us to be energetic. Until. But, there's that little three-letter word. We have birthdays. We have anniversaries. And time marches on. And we lose the energy. The zeal is still there. We just can't do much about it. Okay. Or we don't do much about it. And when we lose the energy to respond as once we did, sometimes we don't express our love like we used to. We take each other for granted. We do the same thing with God, people. We take Him for granted. We take the love that He gives us, and He doesn't give it to us for us to hoard. He gives it to us to disseminate abroad. We have a job. The job we have to do is loving people. That's the job that you and I have. And that job will never go away. That job will never be finished. As long as you breathe, as long as your heart beats, you have a job to do. You need to love everybody that the Lord brings into your life. Everyone. But we get busy. And we get caught up in life. And the things of life, and how are we going to get the grass mowed, and how are we going to get the car fixed, and all the things that just things that have to do with life, and in doing those things, we forget about love, the love of God, and the reason that He gave it to us. So I want us to think this morning about certain things. God never operates covertly. Oh, He does things we don't understand. He does things we don't know about. But most of God's action is open. We can read about it right here. We can. We can read His word, and we can learn. And so God operates in the open, and He expects us to be open in our dealings with other people. The Apostle John, in his writings and his epistles, tells us about God's expectations. And I want us to think about this morning. 1 John 4. 1 John 4, a little letter in the back of the Bible. 1 John 4, 11 and 12. John, writing to his people, writing to the church, says, "Beloved." So right away, there's that word love, right in the middle. Beloved. If God so loved us, and he does, he always has, we ought also to love one another. And I think you folks do a pretty good job of that. I brag on you a little bit to people. I hope you brag on others to people about the love. Verse 12, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. You know, this morning, I would like to be a vessel for God's love. I really would. I'd love to be a vessel just running over at the brim and that love just flowing everywhere. And I don't want life to get in the way. I'd like to have God's love perfected in me. I'm not perfect. My wife doesn't know that, but I'm not perfect. Just confess your faults one to another. I just did, okay? God's ultimate goal for every believer is to have us love perfectly in fulfillment of his will. You and I need to love perfectly in fulfillment of God's will. And that doesn't mean we just love our family and friends, but everybody. And I think that many times people don't see the love of God in us all the time because we are so busy. We are not thinking about God wanting to disseminate his love wherever we go. There are people who are just loving you. You want to be in their presence because they love you. You know they do. You can just sense it. You can sense love. Even dumb animals can sense it. Are you afraid of dogs? What happens when you confront a dog? But if you love dogs, if you love animals, tail wags, they'll come up to you, reach up, you know, want to sniff your hand, want to pat. They can sense whether we love them or whether we hate them. And of course, if you hate them, they're going to come to you anyway just to frustrate you. Okay. Same thing with cats. Okay. But people are that way. People can sense whether you like or love them or whether you don't. And you can't fool them. They know. I think it's because people don't see the love of God in us all the time that they think God doesn't love them. Because we say we're a Christian. And we're supposed to act like a Christian. We're supposed to love them. And they don't see the love of God from us to them. You know, the world has an expectation. And you and I seem to be failing to meet that expectation a lot of the time. It has to do with the love of God. In 1 John 4, 7, we looked at 1 John 4, 11 and 12. I want to back up a couple of verses. 1 John 4, verse 7. And again, John is addressing the church. He says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth He is born of God and knoweth God. Now, I wouldn't want to do this. I'd be afraid to do this. But what if you ask people who know you whether you're a loving person or not? Whether you disseminate the love of God to the people around you? What kind of a testimony might you have? You say, well, Brother Ken, the people know me. No, I'm a very loving person. I'm a good person. I'm sweet. Not. Let's look at some groups. What would people say about you who you share the road with about your love? I can see some folks reacting. We're supposed to love the people we share the road with. I admit, some of them aren't so lovely or loving. But we're supposed to. And as once I had prepared this message, the Lord, by the way, I suffered a lot of conviction preparing this message. I'm not above stepping on my own toes. I'm wearing boots, but I'm trying to protect my toes today because I know where we're going. But what would the people that you share the road with have in the way of a testimony about your love? How do you love a person that you share the road with? And there's thousands of them out there. Do you pause, let them in? You give them space to move over? You know what bugs me? You turn your turn signal on because you want to change lanes, and the guy who's back there tightens up so that there's no place to pull into. That ever happened to you? Did you say, praise the Lord? You know, we can love the people that we share the road with. We can let them in. We can drive slow enough that we aren't going to run over the guy who doesn't belong out there anyway on that moped, but, you know, the pedestrian crossing in the middle of the block expecting you to stop for him. The person at Walmart goes into the crosswalk, doesn't look. I'm glad I push a buggy ahead of me. Because if they're going to damage their grill, it won't be on me, it'll be on the buggy. Loving for God. Loving for God. There's ways you and I can do that. And we don't always do it. Last couple, few days, I've been thinking about, how do I love these people all around me? So I don't want to hurt them because I want to love them. I don't want to do something that will make them angry. I don't want to become an obstacle to their knowing God. That's just one little group. I say little, but it's a big group. What about the people that we work with? What kind of a testimony do we have to all of them? Are we a loving person, or are we an impatient, demanding person? Are we happy to do things for them because we love them? Remember, we've got a job to do. We're to disseminate the love of God to these people. What I know a group. How about, and be quiet back there, okay? How about in the grocery store when it's crowded and they've only got two checkouts open and there's got to be a gazillion people in there with carts loaded. I mean, it's stacked right up in the cart. Some of them got two carts. Have you ever raced one of them for an aisle? So that you don't have to wait? Have you ever let one of them go ahead of you? Say, here, go ahead of me. You don't have much stuff. You're loving them for God. And they could, that can be a testimony to them. You see, we can love everybody we come in contact with one way or another for God, but we've got to be thinking about it. Not just going through life. We've got to have a plan. We want to show everybody God's love and what He has done to us. He's changed us. We're a new creature in Christ because we got saved. And He gave us a new heart, a heart that's supposed to love. You know, as I consider the questions I just asked about the three groups, people we share the road with, people we work with, people in the grocery store, there are times, and as I was thinking about this, my conscience sort of pricked me. I thought I was perfect. But I'm not. God puts a love in our hearts, and we just have to figure out how to use it. And that's one of the jobs we've got that He has given us. Okay, my child, show people my love. And we have to set up goals so that we can do this. Now, the title of the message is Loving for God. God loves, and He really doesn't need us to love for Him, except that's the job He's given all of us to do. How are we doing that for God? Now, I would imagine that there are certain people around us that may question our sincerity of our love for everyone. They probably question the sincerity of our profession of faith in Christ. Back to John 4 again. 1 John 4, verse 8 this time. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. That's pretty simple. He that loveth not. So when we don't love people around us, when we don't love the people that we're associating with, the people that God has put in our path, they think that we don't know God. And we become a stumbling block to them when we say that we do. There are times when we forget about loving God, and that may leave a lasting impression with somebody that we know, somebody we work with, somebody in a grocery store that gets a glimpse of us, sees how we're acting and how we're reacting. We have a fantastic opportunity to love for God everybody that we come in contact with. Proverbs is a great book. I'm so glad we're studying that in Sunday school right now. One of the verses in Proverbs says that he who would have friends must show himself friendly. He who would have friends must show himself friendly. And that works. You just walk past somebody and never look them in the eye, never smile at them, never ask them, how you doing? How things going? They'll never know you who are there. And they'll just go on their way. But if you say, howdy, how you doing? You know, how's it going? If you're friendly, they'll be friendly. And so he who would have friends must show himself friendly. Let's apply that to love. Let's say he who would be loved must love. And that's what God's trying to get us to see. He wants us to love people. That's what a Christian is supposed to be. God is love. All right, if we know God, if we are a child of God, we should be spending our life loving, not hating. Now, there are people. I'm going to be honest with you. We're all human. You're human. I'm human. There are people that I would like to hate. You've probably got some people like that in your life. But that's not what God says. He said, don't do that. Love them. Love everybody. But Lord, you don't understand who Nancy Pelosi is. There's some lady named Waters that is a real, you know. Love them. When you're out on the road and you're driving for and you're trying to love the people on the road, I'm just going to give you one little example. And you say, okay, I'm going to stay back far enough so the other guy can get in. I see his turn signal come on. I'm not going to tighten up so he can't get in like other people do to me. And I'm going to drive slower so I don't run over anybody or run into anybody. And I'm going to love them that way by doing those things. But that's not enough. There's something else we can do. And it takes effort on our part. It's the effort we were talking about. We've got the zeal. We've got to have the effort, the motivation. What about, this is a wild idea. You've probably never done this. What about praying that God gets them safely to their destination? Because some of them need prayer to get to their destination. That's loving them. Now, they're not going to know that, but God's going to know it. And you see, that's all that matters. What God knows, what he knows about your heart, you can look as righteous as you want to, as sweet as you want to, as perfect as you want people to think you are. But God knows our hearts. And God knows whether we're praying for these folks or not. And that's another way that we can love people. We can pray for the people at work. Now, Lord, don't let them come to my desk with another stack of papers. But, Lord, help them to have a good day. Help them to see Jesus Christ in me. Help them to understand that I do love them. Even though I call them a lot of bad names behind their back. People out on the road, sometimes we want to give hand signals to them using selective fingers. But if we love them, we're not going to do that. Now, they might do it back to us, but God expects us to love for him. And folks, the same principles that apply to dieting apply to loving for God. If we want to lose weight, we have to change our philosophy about food. We do. We have to change our philosophy. I like food, obviously. You know, I like food. And food likes me. It wants to hang around my waist, you know. But if I want to lose weight, I want to rethink my relationship to food and my need for food. I really don't need all the food that I eat sometimes. I eat because I'm watching TV. Okay, that's a good reason to eat. I eat because my wife didn't eat it and it's laying there in front of me. Okay. If I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to change my philosophy about food. And I'm going to try and abstain from eating everything that is not moving. Okay? I'm going to change my thinking. And if we're going to love for God, we're going to have to change our thinking. We're going to have to change our philosophy. It's going to take some effort. Just like when we diet, it takes effort. We get hungry. We want to eat. And we think, well, I need to eat to keep my strength up. Man, I can live for weeks. Without eating much. We're going to have to change our philosophy, folks. I've been making fun of a lot of this stuff this morning. But this is a very serious thing for us. It's a very serious thing when our Heavenly Father gives us a job to do. We need to do it. We need to think about doing it. Not think about how we can get out of doing it. That's what my brother and I would do with the garden. My father would come home at night from work and he'd go out and look and say, "You boys didn't do the garden." And, "Oh, yes, we did. We spent some time out there." But we didn't do the job he intended for us to do. And that's something that you and I need to think about. God has done the greatest thing for us in the world. He has saved us from hell. He has saved us in order that we might be his children. And that part of our job is loving for him. I've got four more pages here. We haven't gotten very far, have we? I'm going to skip three pages. Okay. Go to the last paragraph. There's a lot more in between. We'll get to it one day. Everything that we do must be done with a pure heart. And it has to be done through the Holy Spirit. Once we've been born again, he lives in us. He's there to help. We can't do this in our own strength, people. We've got to depend upon him. And this morning in Sunday school, that was one of the things I was thinking about, Tim, when I said we have to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. He wants to lead each one of us. And he's there for that very purpose. God has given him for that. What a waste if we don't take advantage of him, if we don't listen. And what's more, if we don't follow him, he's there. Oh, if we got the radio blaring in both ears, we're not going to hear him, because he doesn't holler at us. He speaks with a still, small voice. That's in your heart, people. And that's where love. There's two kinds of love. I didn't get into it. We'll get into it again, like I said later. Two kinds of love. This morning, I'm going to have to take a few extra minutes here. Okay, there was a passage that you used in your devotion this morning concerning Peter and the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. That's in John 21, verses 15 through 17. John 21, verses 15 through 17. Jimmy used it in devotion for Sunday school this morning. I want to just share these verses with you and explain something that's very important. John 21, verses 15 through 17. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas," this is after the crucifixion, after the resurrection. This is after Peter denied Christ three times. It says, "Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" The word that Jesus used for love there is agapeo. Agapeo. We get our word agape love. And you know what agape, you've heard it. Agape love, self-sacrificing love. And the word that Jesus used there was, "Peter, agapeo me? Do you love me?" That's a heart love. A heart love. There's all kinds of love, but we're talking about a heart love. And he saith to him, Peter, answering back, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee." He used phileo. Jesus said, "Do you love me with your heart?" Peter says, "Oh, I love you with my mind. Yes, Lord, you know I love you with my mind." And so Jesus asked him again. Verse 16, he saith to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou agapeo, thou me?" And he saith to him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I phileo thee," I love thee as a friend, "with my mind, not my heart." And the third time, verse 17, and he said unto him a third time, "Simon, son of Jesus, lovest phileo thou me?" And Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said to him, "Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I phileo thee." And Jesus saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." So there are two kinds of love, and this morning we're talking about the agapeo love, self-sacrificing love from the heart, not the phileo, word Philadelphia, brotherly love comes from phileo, not the love of our mind, the love of our heart. We marry for love from our heart, not from love out of our mind. And the love that God wants us to share with everybody we come in contact with is agape love. That's why we'll hold a door open for a stranger. We're showing them love. Self-sacrificing is taking our time. That's why we will pray for the idiots out there on the road around us. One by one. Lord, look at that stupid driver. Please get him to his destination. Not please get him to his destination so he won't run over me, but please get him to his destination so he can get there. Okay? We need agape love. That's what God gives us to share. Will you agape the people around you? Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the self-sacrificing love that you give us. Thank you for calling us to be a part of that love. Thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to bring that kind of love into our hearts and into our lives. Father, don't let us hoard it, but help us to share with everyone we come in contact with, that they might know we love you and we want to love for you. Use us in this week to come, and we will praise you for all that you do. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.